Our Old Testament reading this morning comes from Genesis 1, verses 26 through 31. Before we hear the Word of God, since both of these passages tie together, let us begin with a prayer of illumination. Let us pray. Almighty God, as we do enter into this time of hearing your Word, we pray that you will inspire us with your Spirit. We pray that you will open our hearts and our minds and help us, Lord, to truly understand what it is to be made in your image. We pray all of this in the name of Christ our Lord. Amen. The Old Testament reading comes from Genesis 1, verses 26 through 31. Then God said, "Let us make man in our image, in our likeness, and let them rule over the fish of the sea and the birds of the air, over the livestock, over all the earth, and over all the creatures that move along the ground." So God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him. Male and female, he created them. God blessed them and said to them, "Be fruitful and increase in number. Fill the earth and subdue it. Rule over the fish of the sea and the birds of the air and over every living creature that moves on the ground." Then God said, "I give you every seed-bearing plant on the face of the whole earth and every tree that has fruit with seed in it. They will be yours for food. And to all the beasts of the earth, and all the birds of the air, and all the creatures that move on the ground, everything that has the breath of life in it, I give every green plant for food." And it was so. God saw that all he had made, and it was very, very good. And there was evening, and there was morning, the sixth day. The word of the Lord. Our New Testament reading comes from 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 1 through 6. "Therefore, since through God's mercy we have this mystery, we do not lose heart. Rather, we have renounced secret and shameful ways. We do not use deception, nor do we distort the word of God. On the contrary, by setting forth the truth plainly, we commend ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. And even if our gospel is veiled, it is veiled to those who are perishing. The God of this age has blinded the minds of unbelievers so that they cannot see the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God. For we do not preach ourselves, but Jesus Christ as Lord, and ourselves as your servants for Jesus' sake. For God, who said, 'Let light shine out of darkness,' made his light shine in our hearts to give us the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Christ." This is the word of the Lord. Well, in Hebrew, the term is Besalem Elohim. It means in the image of God. The word for God is Elohim. And in Genesis 1:1, it says, "In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth." And this morning we read that on the sixth day, he created mankind, Besalem Elohim, in the image of God. The image of God is one of the most discussed and pondered doctrines of our Christian faith. The Latin term is imago Dei. There is a very fine organization in this country dedicated to spiritual transformation, which is called imago Dei. Its goal is to bring people into a personal, transformative relationship with God through Jesus Christ. The image of God has been debated and speculated for centuries by theologians and artists alike. Great artists like Michelangelo have tried to paint an image of God, even on the ceiling of the Sistine Chapel at the Vatican, with this famous painting of God and Adam reaching out to touch each other. But every attempt to paint, to physically portray the image of God is merely the artist's own imagination letting go. And that's why theologians for centuries have concluded that Scripture is not referring to the physical nature of God when it says we're created in His image, but rather it is focusing on the moral and the spiritual and intellectual image of God. It is here that we can start to comprehend the unique nature of humans in relation to God. In the creation account from Genesis, man and woman are given dominion over the rest of creation. It is man and woman alone who are said to be created in God's image. The image of God sets us apart from all the rest of God's creation. And so perhaps the passage that I read this morning from Genesis suggests that humankind is the primary place where God is manifested. That is, where God can actually infiltrate our inner beings and become evident to others who come to know us. Perhaps it implies that it is us, as human beings, who stand in relationship, a special relationship with God, and that we were created to function as God's representatives. We have the ability to reason. We have the ability to feel and to act and to enter into deep and meaningful relationships. And when we think of that, when we think about the ability to reason, to act, to feel, and to enter into deep relationship, we are describing very much the image of God. As Christians, we have the joyful advantage of believing in a triune God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. We believe that all three persons of the Trinity were present and participated in the creation. And by Jesus' incarnation, coming to earth as a baby, growing into adulthood, and teaching a message that challenged the world to turn away from sin and idolatry and indifference, we have the ability to understand to a greater degree what God's image means for the world. So let's transition from the Hebrew Bible in the Old Testament to the new covenant with God, which we enjoy through Jesus Christ. It is with joy and gratitude that we here today can come to understand that the image of God is also the image of Christ. And that is an image that people have warmed to for generations. It is an image of love and compassion and humility. It is an image of wide open arms welcoming us into relationship. It is an image of one who changed the world by surrendering all in obedience to God the Father, and who made the greatest sacrifice as a servant to all of mankind. The person who came to earth as God incarnate, Jesus the Messiah, was present with God at the time of the creation. As we read just a couple of weeks ago in John 1:1, it says, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God." That was Jesus. He was with God in the beginning. We just didn't know him by the name of Jesus or as the incarnate Christ at that time. But even in the early church, there was debate about the image of God and how could Jesus be both fully God and fully human. The debate was so intense that the Roman Emperor Constantine appointed the Council of Nicaea in the year 325, And it was made up of the religious scholars and leaders of the church of that day, and their charge was to come up with an answer to this question of how Jesus could be fully God and fully human at the same time. They spent weeks in deep debate and prayer. They debated a concept, which I won't belabor this morning, but in theology it's known by its Greek term homoousios, which means being of the same substance. It was determined that Jesus had shown by his life, by his death, and yes, by his resurrection, that he was of the same substance as God. He was God in the flesh. And out of that Council of Nicaea came the Nicene Creed in the year 325. And it remains one of our primary expressions of faith today. For those of us who are Presbyterian, in our Book of Confessions, the very first creed in this Book of Confessions is the Nicene Creed. Written in 325, it remains one of our primary expressions of faith. We believe in God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. We also hear in Jesus' own words, in John chapter 14, verses 6 through 10, Jesus answers this question about the image of God by saying, "I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. If you really knew me, you would know my Father as well. From now on, you do know him and have seen him." And Philip said, "Lord, show us the Father, and that will be enough for us." But Jesus answered, "Don't you know me, Philip, even after I have been among you such a long time? Anyone who has seen me has seen the Father. How can you say, 'Show us the Father'? Don't you believe that I am in the Father and that the Father is in me? The words I say to you are not just my own. Rather, it is the Father living in me who is doing his work." That, folks, is the Nicene Creed in the words of Jesus Christ himself. So when we read the gospel accounts of Jesus' life and work on earth, we are seeing the image of God that is important to our salvation and our ability to live a fulfilled life. To be in the image of Christ is to be forgiving, loving, compassionate, humble, all of the things that we have come to know about Jesus. And it is also to be in relationship with God. The image of God, the image of Christ, the presence of the Holy Spirit within us, that is what we are called to exemplify to the world. From the time of creation, God has set mankind apart to be in special relationship with the sovereign Trinity. And it is ever as much true today as it was then. Genesis 1, verse 27 says, "So God created mankind in his image. In the image of God, he created them. Male and female, he created them." By the way we live our lives and speak the truth, and hear that, the truth of Jesus' message, we affirm our faith in this wonderful and miraculous relationship we have with God through Jesus Christ. To the glory of God. Amen. Let us pray. Almighty God, we do praise you and thank you for creating us in your image. And even though early on mankind failed in keeping that image, we failed through sin, You have given us the ability to come back to you, to redeem ourselves and to redeem our relationship with you through the life, death, and resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ. And for that we bow in humble gratitude. Lord, this day we thank you for the beauty of the day. We thank you for these people who have gathered together in your name to worship you. And Lord, we give you praise for all of the many joys that we have in our lives. And Lord, for those who suffer, for those who are sick, for those who are homeless, for those who are hungry, for those who are lonely or in need of your presence in their lives, we lift them to you at this time. We pray for travel mercies for those who are in our congregation and for all of your children who are traveling or who are in danger, Lord. We pray for your protection. And Lord, we do lift up to you today Dr. Sue and the work that she is doing with all of the other medical professionals and technicians of all kinds who are in the storm-ravaged area of Florida. We pray that you will keep them safe, keep them healthy. And Lord, we pray that they indeed will know how much they are missed, but yet appreciated by those of us here. We pray for their protection. Lord, we thank you. We thank you for loving us. And we pray all of this in the name of Jesus Christ our Lord, the one who taught us to pray by saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Let us now respond to God's word by returning our gifts to him.